But in the 4th century, there began to be a celebration held on this night. The earliest Roman lectionaries called for the reading of Paul's account of the institution of the Eucharist and John's account of the foot washing, which ends with the new commandment for Jesus. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. This new commandment, or mandate, in Latin is rendered as mandatum novum, which the English, of course, turned into mandi. And even after the English Reformation in 1560, Queen Elizabeth I kept her mandi in the Great Hall of Westminster by washing the feet of 20 poor women. Tonight at this service, we begin the great Paschal Triduum, the 3 days that continue with Great Good Friday and the Easter Vigil. These are 3 days in chronological time, but liturgically they represent one act, one continuous act of the Last Supper, death, burial, and resurrection. And the unity of this one act shows us the unity of the mystery of Christ's passion. At this service, we've heard the readings that recall the institution of the Passover, the institution of the Eucharist, and Christ's new commandment, demonstrated by foot washing. And tonight, we will observe the ceremony of the washing of feet, and following communion, we will strip the altar and close in darkness. On this Thursday, we travel with Jesus from the upper room to the Mount of Olives to the beginning of his passion. Are we ready to cross this threshold from Lent to the Paschal mystery? We've spent 40 days traveling with Jesus to Jerusalem, making the great journey of repentance and conversion, seeking deep transformation of our personal and corporate lives, trying to turn away from those displaced desires we have that separate us from God, while we turn toward the good news of the kingdom of God that Jesus has taught us. What final lessons does he have for us? Are we ready to take the final steps of this journey? Last Sunday, we entered Jerusalem in the procession of the palms. This evening, we sit with him in an upper room. The last 4 days have been deeply troubling. A time of conflict and tension as the authorities seek to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. Jesus told us to keep awake. We gather tonight in the upper room for a common meal, just like many meals we have had with Jesus before. But tonight he has done something different. He took the bread and blessed it and broke it and said, "This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And then he took the cup and said, "This is the blood of the new covenant. Whenever you drink it, do it in remembrance of me." And then after dinner, he took off his outer robe and filled a basin and washed the feet of the disciples. And after he finished that, he put his robe back on and went to the table and said to the disciples, "Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and if I, your teacher and Lord, have washed your feet, then you should wash one another's feet. I have given you an example. I have given you a new commandment, that you love each other. By this, everyone shall know that you are my disciples." Well, what has happened here in this upper room? Our teacher has given us 2 final lessons. One, to remember him, literally remember him, body and blood, in the bread and wine. And a second lesson, to not just love God, but to love each other. And love here is not mere desire or emotion. This is love as action. This first lesson means that our everyday table fellowship has been radically changed. Now the kingdom of God can become present as part of our fellowship through the presence of the one who will suffer and die and be buried and resurrected. The second lesson means that in the single love commandment, Jesus has toppled over every relationship of power and dominance and hierarchy in one move. A move that puts love into action that can change the world. The second lesson has two parts. They're both essential to understanding what he's trying to tell us. When Jesus himself washes the disciples' feet, the master has become the servant of the disciples. But when he tells them to reflect with him on the meaning of this, that one-time action is turned into action to be repeated over and over again for everyone in the world. As the master serves, so do the disciples. Well, how do we live these lessons in the world? How do I conform myself to Christ's example? I've come to know that mere intellectual assent is not sufficient to affect personal transformation for me. Our conversion doesn't come from changing our thoughts. It comes by changing our actions, by taking on a whole new set of habits. Habits are new behaviors that we do with our bodies that we learn so deeply that we take these new habits into our bones, our gut, our hearts, not just our heads. We practice these behaviors together in our Christian liturgies, especially in the Eucharist, and then we take what we practice into the world. Our Easter story is a description of the deep reality that is beneath, behind, beyond the mere surface appearance of the world. During these 3 days, we symbolically present and practice the action that reality requires so that we can act out our liturgies in our daily life. In order to make room for new habits, so that I can follow Christ's example, I have to let go of many of my existing habits. I'm so attached to them that I don't think I can be me without them. How can I train my body, my heart, my imagination to let go of these things? A total letting go is a literal dying to everything that I think I am. A letting go that will not merely prepare me for my physical dying at the end of my days, but a letting go that will let me die and be reborn every day, this day, and tomorrow. Based on these lessons from Jesus, we know what to do. These 3 days are the liturgy of all liturgies, the practice, the acting out of our transformation, our salvation, our dying and rebirth into new risen life. There is no shortcut to Easter Sunday. We will stay with Jesus on his journey after the Last Supper. We will go with him to the Mount of Olives, where we wait with him to watch and to pray. On this Holy Thursday, we will watch in silence as the altar is stripped, every item removed, even as the reserved sacrament is carried out of the sanctuary and the church falls into total darkness. We will watch and wait and pray.